it's from this macro scale down to a micro scale, not what other people think, but who yourself believes that Jesus is. And the scripture tells us that Peter answered that question, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Christ was a term for the Messiah, the Holy One promised in the Hebrew Scriptures, the one of ancient times that was to come and redeem the people. Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, for this is not known to you of your own doing, but this is known to you by God's Holy Spirit, which has given the answer to you." And Peter correctly answered that question. But going back to C.S. Lewis, Lewis takes that question, "Who do people say that he is? Who do you say that he is?" And Lewis says that if you consider that question logically, cognitive, thinking about it, looking at the scripture, looking at all of the possibilities, that there are only three possible answers to that question. One of those answers, Lewis says, is that you can read scripture, and Jesus made promises. He promised such things as, "I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so." He did such things as forgiving of sins and talking about the forgiveness of sins. He told people about how to live. He told people that when you see me, you see the Father. And Lewis says if you would read all of those, one of the possible conclusions of who Jesus is, one possibility is that he was a liar. That all of this that he said was a lie. Why? Who knows? Possibly to gather a following, possibly for the income, possibly for his own ego, whatever it was. And Lewis says that if Jesus was a liar, that would make him one of the most cruel, evil persons that ever walked the face of the earth. If he told people, "Come and follow me," if he told the rich young ruler, "Sell all that you have and follow me," and if what he said wasn't true, he was deceiving people and continues to deceive people to this day. Over 2 billion people on the face of the earth right now believe and proclaim what Jesus said, that Jesus is the Christ. And if he lied about all of that, he has totally deceived everyone sitting here, myself, and all those people. So Lewis says, you have to decide, was he a liar? Lewis says there's a second possibility. That second possibility is that he wasn't a liar. He was insane. He was crazy. He was out of his mind. He was a lunatic. In fact, there's a little bit of basis for that assertion in Scripture. The first time I heard it proclaimed by a preacher, I didn't believe it until I went and read myself. It's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. And if you read there, the family of Jesus had come to the house he was preaching in. They had come to take him away. And before that, in the same chapter, going back a few verses, if you go back and read it, it says that his mother and his brothers had come to the conclusion that he was beside himself. In other words, he had gone off the deep end, and they had come to take him away. That was early in his ministry. Later on, towards the end of his ministry, and after his death and resurrection, his mother Mary became one of his greatest evangelists, according to Christian tradition. Two of his brothers wrote two of the books of the New Testament. They became faithful, total, committed followers of Jesus. But Lewis says that the second conclusion, the second possibility is that he was totally insane. You look at the scripture that we all know. Jesus is preaching inside a house one day. And there are four men carrying a person on a cot. They go to the house, and scripture says they can't get in. They can't get in the door. They can't get in the windows. And so they go up to the roof. And many of the roofs at that time would be thatch roofs or have loose tiles on them. And scripture tells us that they tore open an opening in the roof of the house that Jesus was preaching inside of. And they take some ropes, and they take the cot, and they lower it through the roof to the very feet of where Jesus was preaching. And the man is there on the cot. He's paralyzed. He can't move. And Jesus looks at him, and probably with great empathy in his heart, pity, he says to him, "Son, take up your mat and walk." Over in the corner are the Pharisees. The Pharisees, as you probably know, were some of the religious leaders of the time. Usually when they came with the scribes. The scribes were actually their attorneys. And what they did quite often was enforce the law. When Jesus ate with sinners, they criticized him for eating and drinking with sinners. When he healed on the Sabbath, they criticized him for healing someone because he was working on the Lord's day. So they're off in the corner. And scripture says they thought to themselves. It doesn't say they murmured. It doesn't say they spoke. It doesn't say they said anything at all out loud. They thought to themselves. When they did, as they're thinking to themselves, who is this man that thinks he can forgive sins? Only God himself can forgive sins. When they think that to themselves, Jesus turns and would have looked straight at them and said, "So that you know I have the power to forgive sins, I tell you," and he turned back to the boy on the cot, "Son, take up your mat and walk." And then he asked this question, which is easier, to forgive sins or to heal someone? If Jesus thought, according to Lewis, according to this second answer, that he was out of his mind, that he could actually forgive sins, if he thought that when you see me, you see God, if he thought that he was the Christ when Peter answered that question, Lewis says the second possibility is he was totally out of his mind. So you have those two possibilities. Was he crazy or out of his mind? Or the only third answer? And that third answer, Lewis says, is that he is exactly who he said he was. The living Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the chosen one, the anointed one, the Savior of Israel, the one that they had long sought for, the Son of God in human flesh walking the face of the earth, exactly who he said he was. But in this account that was read of Scripture, after that, we get to the second point of this little bit of Scripture. The first point is, who is Jesus? The second point is, we may know who Jesus is. In fact, even Lucifer knows who Jesus is. But the second question is, does our knowledge of who Jesus is, does it take our mind off of the world and on to God? answers that second question, because you follow along in the scripture. And the next part of the scripture, Jesus is telling the disciples, he's done this several times, repeatedly told them what's going to happen. He said, I'm going into Jerusalem. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. And Peter, basically his right-hand man, tries to dissuade him from this path and tries to tell him not to go to Jerusalem. And Jesus turns and says to Peter words that if Jesus had said those to me, it would have cut right through my heart and demolished me. But he says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, because you follow the ways of man and not the ways of God. You see, Jesus knew what this calling and path was. Scripture tells us he had set his face resolutely upon Jerusalem, upon the cross, for this mission. And Peter, by trying to dissuade him, Jesus is saying, you've got your thoughts on living, the thoughts of man. My thoughts are on the will of God. So that's the second point. Who do you say that Jesus is? And then, are our thoughts on the ways of man or on the ways of God? And then he gets to the final point. And that final point is in the closing of the scripture that was read this morning. Take up your cross and follow me. So who do we say that he is? Turn our thoughts on to God. And lastly, take up our cross and follow me. Follow Jesus. It's not always easy. In this world that you and I live in our lifetimes, for some of the younger people here, you've not seen it as much as some of us that have a few years behind us. We've seen a lot change in our world and in our country. A lot has changed. And it's not always easy being a Christian in today's times. It wasn't easy being a follower of Jesus in his time. Because according to tradition, 10 of those who followed him were put to death because of following him. Jesus, he doesn't say it's always going to be easy, but he gives his promise. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. In his presence, what April is going through is not easy. But she rests her faith on the fact that God is with her. What some of you in your lives have gone through has not always been easy. But our faith, our sanctuary, our harbor is in the presence of God. I don't know about you, but that's what keeps me going. I know, despite all the times that we're in, when I go around to these churches, I meet the leaders of the church, or the person that just sits in the pew and never says a word or does anything at all. It is such a blessing to see people that are so faithful and committed to God and his presence. I thank God for that. For your church and all the churches. And I give you this word of encouragement. Decide who Jesus is and proclaim it. Don't follow the ways of the world, but follow the ways of God. And take up your cross, whatever it may be, and follow him. Gracious God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the chance over the years to know the people and to be beside. beside them. I thank you for their love of you, of this church, of each other, and of this community. I praise you for the spirit that you have upon them, their gentleness and kindness and compassion. I pray that your Holy Spirit continues to fall down upon this church, that you continue to bless this church and move this church and draw them closer to you and transform the church each and every day. I praise you for the leadership of the church, whether it's lay leaders or pastors, to let them have your wisdom and guidance and blessing and assurance and calmness and peace. I pray that you walk beside us each and every day, gracious Father. I pray that each day you truly do make us more like you and less like us. For you're such a great God. We sit here proclaiming your greatness. We're going to sing about it. We're going to thrive in such a great God. And I thank you for just loving us. This I ask and pray in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to close this morning. It's one of my favorite hymns because it centers not upon us, but it centers upon God and his greatness. Let's join together if you're able in singing How Great Thou Art. Thank you. not the ways of the world, and take up your cross into the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This we ask and pray in Jesus' beautiful name.